Have your Bibles today. Please bring your Bibles to church when you come here. Let's go ahead and turn to the book of John, John chapter 2. I'm going to read in a moment from Judges, but that'll be on the screen. You can kind of follow along that one verse in Judges. And I'm going to be speaking this morning here on Miracles Are for Today. I'm on a series that's called Timeless Truths, which again gives me a wide gamut of things to talk about. So I'm really asking the Holy Spirit to give me direction on what to actually touch on, because we're talking here about things that I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to come into agreement with, to bring in some transitional things in our lives. It's going to bring more breakthroughs, more blessings to your life, because I really do believe that this year of 2012 is a year that God's going to cause many promises, many things He's stored up inside of us in the spiritual realm in the past to actually be manifest, be realized in this season. There were many, many storms, many folks last year in 2011. We were no exception to that ourselves. And those storms, I believe, are going to start dying out in many ways. We're going to start seeing God bring forth to us now blessings and increase from the storms that we went through as our character hopefully got developed stronger and better and become more like Jesus on the tail end of that as well. Cheryl and I just booked tickets on a side note here to go back to Mozambique, Africa. We leave in late May now for that, we found out. And we're still going full blast ahead to take and get those wells dug in 7 different villages in rural parts of Mozambique. So that's already being done little by little. Things are coming together for that. And we also appreciate God opened the doors for Vietnam and Burma to us for the first time coming this November, late October as well. I want to say also, please excuse any kind of mess you see around here. We're actually doing a revamping of our platform. The projectors are up. They're wired in. The computer came in on Friday. All of our sound guys and tech guys are all wiring all things together. And so little by little, but in this whole month of March, you'll see a screen being put up here pretty soon, and you'll see us actually using this 3-projector format to give you guys a great big old wide image here that we can use in some versatile ways to communicate better what we're talking about up on this platform, okay? So just bear with us as you see some dust and some things out of whack here on this platform. Talking about, again, timeless truths, talking about how miracles really are for today. I'm going to talk about this morning also about the very first miracle, of course, that Jesus Christ did that's found in John chapter 2. And again, our guests that are here are named Joel and Christina Gunn. We appreciate you guys again being here today. We met their pastor named Theo Vollmerans. I met him back in 1982, our very first trip to South Africa, my first trip there. My wife, of course, born and raised there. And Theo Vollmerans, somehow the contact came. I don't remember how it even took place. But he had a church about 50 miles or 100 miles north of Durban on the east coast there, and had a great big thriving megachurch to us anyway in those days that met in a theater type thing. I remember how in our rock seminar days, exposing secular rock music, doing backward masking, things like that, there was always, or very often, there was very, very weird, strange things took place in attacks against us in sometimes natural and supernatural ways, and Theo's church was no exception. 5 minutes before the seminar began, and my projector goes on to show the slides of the albums and all the quotes and so forth, a freak accident takes place where a pickup rams into the generator not far from the church, knocks out the power to the entire church building. They have no power now. I can't run my slides. I can't run my projector. And so all of a sudden, they get a brainy idea to bring a guy with a Harley or some kind of big motorcycle up the aisle of a church. He shines his headlights on the front there, and they light a generator up. And then through the generator there, they got my slides to go just enough to kind of make the slides advance, not the fan to work, though. The fan did not work to cool the slides down. And so we get the presentation. We're doing the seminar. And just as Mick Jagger comes on in an album called Goathead Soup, there's a picture of him, I think, with a veil over his face. The slide catches on fire. It starts burning up the carousel. Smoke is rising. And I don't remember how the whole thing kind of turned out, but somehow, some way, Cheryl and I did figure out a way with Theo's help to get the slides to advance, get the whole presentation. We saw many folks come to Christ that night. We had great results take place that night. And that was my experience with Theo Vollmerans from South Africa at this church back in 1982. So I appreciate them. But I know from that experience, and many experiences kind of similar to that, that God is a God who works miracles. Amen. God's a God that does the supernatural as only He can do. So as you're in John chapter 2, I'm going to read Judges chapter 6 and verse 13. And it says here on the screen as well, Gideon said to him, he said to God, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this bad stuff," I'm going to add that, "happened to us? And where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." This actually is a good statement being made here by Gideon, because we know that God is a supernatural God. To God, the supernatural is natural as far as he is concerned. And Gideon's saying, well, where is the God, the supernatural, the God of miracles at? The Midianites have oppressed us. They are taking over our lands and our fields and so forth and so on. Where is God at in all of this? What is God doing among us? And if any of you guys out there today in your seats this morning are asking the same question, if God is supernatural, if God is for us, then why aren't we seeing more miracles happening in our individual lives and our corporate lives? I'm going to give you some keys and answers today to that, because I do want to say today again that God is still in the miracle working business even today. God changes not, the same yesterday, today, and forever is Jesus Christ, is God the Father, and the Holy Spirit as well. And what God's done back then, God will even do today. In fact, Jesus Christ said, greater things than you saw me do, shall you do also. I go to my Father, and I leave the Holy Spirit here behind, and he shall do greater things through you than you saw even me do in my 3.5 years on this earth in ministry, is what Jesus Christ left with us. Amen? So God's in the miracle-working business. The good news also is today, you won't get a miracle unless you have a problem. How many folks here can say, I've got a problem? A few guys are going to be honest, okay? A few folks. All of us have problems. We're either coming out of a problem, we're either in a problem, or we're going to a problem, because in this world, the Bible says, you will have tribulation. That word tribulation in the Greek language actually means you will have pressure, you will have stress in this world. But then it goes on and says, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome this world. And so God, the good news is, God brings miracles to those who have problems. And the better news is, the bigger your problem is, the bigger shall be the miracle for that problem. Amen? How many folks know that God did a great big miracle back in the Old Testament there? The Red Sea, not the Red Pond, was a great big problem before all the people of Israel fleeing from Egypt. This whole sea parted by the hand of Moses, and God brought all the Israelites through on dry land and cut those enemies off as only he could do. God also brought forth Lazarus. 4 days he was dead in the tomb, behind the rock, behind the place, and we find there that his body should have been sticking there, deteriorating there by that time. But of course, Jesus Christ shows up. He speaks the word, says, Lazarus, come forth. Big problem, big miracle. God is in the miracle working business even to this day. Let's read now John chapter 2, starting in verse 1. John 2 and verse 1. And it says here, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Jesus said back to her, woman, what does this, your concern, have to do with me? I'm going to stop there and say, how many men can relate to that kind of a phrase there? You know, sometimes we kind of feel like saying that to our wives, our mothers perhaps. I don't advise that. You're not Jesus. But he says, woman, what does your problem have to do with me? My hour has not yet quite come. His mother said back to the servants now, whatever he says to you, you do that. Now keep note of that also. We'll come back to that in a moment. And now there were set there 6 water pots of stone according to the manner of purification of the Jews, and they contained 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. They filled them up to the brim. He said to them, draw some out now. Take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. And when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but it says the servants who had drawn the water out, they knew where it came from. The master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then it says the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now, is what he's saying here in this verse. History tells us these are actually probably relatives of Jesus Christ at this wedding. As a matter of fact, historians believe this might have been the wedding of John the Beloved, John the Apostle, that actually Christ was going to this day in this example in the Bible. It could have been his wedding, as a matter of fact. Also, some side notes here. I found out God also has a sense of humor throughout the entire Bible, with John the Apostle especially. I've heard Joyce Meyer say things herself when she preaches that I kind of see how John and Peter seem to have kind of a problem with each other. John the Apostle writes this book of John, and the funny thing to me is in John chapter 20, verses 2 and verses 4, verse 2 it says, this is about John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, who wrote that? John did. John, the disciple that Jesus loved, of course. Then it goes on in verse 4. It's talking about Jesus Christ dies on the cross, rises from the dead. And here's Peter and John now side by side. They get the good news. He's alive. He's not dead. The stone's rolled away. And it says, the two disciples ran to the tomb. And then verse 4 says this. And it says, let me read what it says if I can find this. So they ran together, and the other disciple, John, outran Peter. Now, who wrote that? John. See how God's got a kind of a sense of humor? Because the Bible says all the scriptures are given by God's inspiration. And so you got to believe that God told John to write that. So I believe that God's trying to just give John a good time in this. Kind of a funny thing, too, in the Old Testament was Moses. The Bible says, I think in Exodus or Genesis there, that Moses was the most humble man on the face of the earth. Who wrote that? Moses. Isn't that amazing? But he's speaking by the Holy Spirit, so it must be true. But I'm saying God pets us on the back sometimes, even through ourselves. Amen. Edify yourself sometimes, okay? Notice here it says also in John chapter 2, verse 1, on the third day. Theologians, they tell us that in the culture of the Jews getting married, their weddings took normally about 6 days. It took place the day after the Sabbath on their Sunday. Back in those days, their Sabbath was on Saturday. And they had a 6-day feast from Sunday till the day before the next Sabbath. And so 6 days takes place. And so this is very, very likely the third day of this 6-day wedding feast, for it could have been even John the Apostle in this situation in John chapter 2. And so there's a few things also to take note about this as well. The question is, again, why did now Mary, why did she actually involve Jesus Christ? It's coming up to him and say, whatever he says to do, you do that. Could it kind of be that perhaps Mary, who was actually the mother of Jesus Christ, you saw the angel come to her and say, you shall be with child, though you are a virgin, you shall become pregnant, and you shall bear a child. He shall be named Emmanuel. God is with us. He shall be the Savior of the earth. Could it be that Mary kind of knew in her own mind, her own heart, and Christ's upbringing there, that he was a miracle-working God? I kind of picture out when Jesus Christ was growing up in the house of Mary, being a carpenter, how maybe sometimes she was baking some things in the kitchen. And she goes up to Jesus and says, hey, Jesus, would you please go to the grocery store? I need some more Passover bread for the matzo balls to be made here. Jesus Christ is busy. He's playing jacks, or he's playing Uno or something, or playing Xbox. And he says, Mother, check the cupboards one more time. And she goes back to the cupboards, and they're totally filled and cram-packed, full of all kind of Passover bread for the matzo ball. Maybe she saw things like that. Perhaps even growing up also, maybe he had a pond back in his backyard, and he's playing with the boys, casting out his line, catching fish perhaps. And all of a sudden, Jesus, perhaps he loses his sinker, loses his bobber, whatever, and he finds himself walking out on the water of the pond. And here comes Mary out and says, now, Jesus, be a normal boy here. Don't walk on the water like that. Don't show off there. You get down there and swim and wade like the other boys do there. Don't do that, Jesus. That's not a real wise thing to do. Or maybe even his own dad saw him in his carpentry days. His dad says, Jesus, I'm out of nails. My buckets are empty here. Go buy me some nails in town. Jesus says to his own dad, probably from time to time, look at your bucket one more time. And I'm sure the whole thing is just totally filled up, overflowing there. But things like that probably took place back in the very boyhood of Jesus Christ. Not in the Bible, perhaps, but I kind of have a sneaking suspicion here that Jesus Christ did some things to kind of awe and shock his own dad and mother growing up. Regardless of all of that, the bottom line here is Jesus Christ is told by his own mother, or by the servants are told by his mother, whatever he says to do, you do that yourselves. Jesus Christ, being very gracious, very kind, very loving, he says, take those water pots and fill them to the brim with water, and they obey what he says that day. I want to say three things this morning about miracles. And I want you also to realize today that the Holy Spirit's given me a very, very, to me, it's a strong revelation of some things he wants to break loose in our lives or our minds this morning. That I believe there's going to be some real keys to us to seeing some things that's been stored up for us get released in us and through us beyond this service even today by God's Word and by God's Spirit. The first thing here about miracles is, number one, taking notes this morning, write these things down if you would, please. Number one is miracles are conditional. Miracles are conditional. There are things that we must do before God does what God does. I want to remind you, I taught you guys several weeks ago as well. That you do your part first in the natural realm, then God does His part in the supernatural realm. God takes your natural and God brings forth His supernatural, and then God brings forth a miracle on the other side of you obeying what He says to do in the natural realm. We saw this take place in Moses. God tells Moses, lift your rod up. Do the natural thing. When he obeys what God says, God parts the Red Sea. God brings forth the 10 plagues. He does the natural. God does the supernatural. We see David. He gets 5 smooth stones. He slings that sling. He throws that stone out. God takes that stone in his own hand and sinks that stone right in the giant's head. He does the natural. God does the supernatural. The giant comes tumbling down. He dies. The strong man is bound, and they spoil his house from that day forward. The Bible also says, as the boy gave 5 loaves, he gave 2 fishes. He did the natural. Jesus Christ takes that, breaks that, blesses that, and he feeds over 5,000 people in one meal. You do the natural, God does the supernatural as only God can do. Right here, Jesus Christ tells these men, you do the natural thing. You fill these water pots full of water, then I'll do my supernatural part and turn the water into wine. I found again that miracles are conditional. God will always give you something natural to do yourself. Then by your obedience, God will show up and bring to the other side of that a supernatural result that only God can bring for your circumstance, your situation in your life. Not only are they conditional, miracles are, but they're also measurable. They fill the water pots, the Bible says, to the brim, 6 water pots in all. Jesus Christ says, again, going back here to this verse, in verses, I think 1 or 2 here of chapter 2 of John, it says, Jesus says, Mother, they have not included me in this situation. They've not recognized me, for they do not know who I am. Theologians say is what it actually means here. But it says, I don't get involved in things like this. He says, they don't recognize me. They don't see me for who I am. They don't see me as the Messiah, the Jesus Christ I really am. They don't see me as God sees me, so I really can't do a thing like this today. Mary is saying there, Jesus, tap into the deep part of your own life there. Though they may not see who you are right now as a supernatural Son of God, I still know all things are possible through you by God's grace, by God's word, and by God's Spirit. And so Jesus Christ says, okay, Mother, I'm going to obey you. I'm going to do a supernatural work right here. He turns the water into wine. Now, I want to stop here for a moment here and get into something that I just saw for the first time on Friday afternoon. And that's what I found is there's normally 2 parts to every miracle. I want you to write that down. There's 2 parts to almost every miracle. Let's look now in our Bibles at 2 Kings chapter 13. And just read that whole chapter sometime or half that chapter yourself in your own spare time. We're going to see here about an example of Elisha the prophet who gives to us an example of how being led by the Holy Spirit is so key to seeing God bring forth a complete victory for you by miracles taking place in your lives. Now, you may ask me, well, in the Old Testament, did the Holy Spirit really work and operate? The answer is yes. God's always been here. The Holy Spirit's always been here. Jesus Christ has always been here. They've always been working among us in some very, very powerful, dynamic ways. Even back in Old Testament times, the Holy Spirit was still doing work through God's prophets and through God's people in some very dramatic ways, time and time again. And I saw here in the story about Elisha in chapter 13 of 2 Kings, how Elisha was dealing with a man who was an evil king named King Jehoash of Israel. Jehoash was facing a strong enemy, and this guy was a king of the Arameans. And the Bible says that Elisha had a sickness he would actually die with in a few days or a few weeks. But here in this story, in 2 Kings chapter 13, the Bible says that Elisha tells Jehoash, take your bow and arrow, go to your palace window, and shoot an arrow out the window as a sign of victory over the Arameans. And the Bible says that Elisha puts his hand on the hand of King Jehoash. They pull the bow back together. They let the arrow fly, and it goes out the window. Elisha prophesies and says, victory and defeat for the Arameans and victory for God's army shall be the sign of this arrow shot out this window this day. Then a very strange thing takes place beyond that. Elisha says to the king Jehoash, take now all the quiver of arrows and strike the ground with them. And the Bible says he strikes the ground 3 times. Elisha gets angry. He says, you should have struck the ground 5 or 6 times, because now you will only defeat the Arameans only 3 times. You will not destroy them. You'll just defeat them only 3 times. Well, the Holy Spirit showed me on Friday that I thought was very, very amazing was, if God had his way, Joash should have taken and paused for a moment and said, Elisha, you have the word of the Lord in your mouth and in your heart. Please put your hand back on my hand once again when I strike the ground, because you know how many times this ground must be struck to bring total deliverance from the Arameans from this day forth. The Bible says his hand was on his hand for the pulling of the bow and the arrow being released, but it was not upon the king's hand for the striking on the ground of the arrows. And what God says to you and I today is, when miracles take place, they always bring forth a divine breakthrough at first. But normally, God is not totally finished with your dilemma and your problem by the first breakthrough in your life. You need to catch that. What I'm saying is, when you see God do a breakthrough to save your life from cancer, or give you a new job, or bring to you financial breakthroughs, a check in the mail perhaps, that is only the very first part normally of the miracle God's doing in your life. That'll bring to you a divine breakthrough for today. That's a great blessing, a great joy release, a great revival producing thing, but God is not finished yet. What God's doing there is God's releasing to you a pattern or a spiritual dynamic there that brings total victory for the long haul, not just for one day. I'm going to go beyond this, and I'm going to keep on kind of plowing in this for a moment longer. With the miracle of the water pots, there were still 3 days left of festivities. You see, those guys could have disobeyed Jesus Christ and only filled the water pots up about half full because they said, well, these water pots get very heavy when they get full. We're going to fill these things up only half full for today's need only. These guys had 3 more days left of the festivities in that place. And so by God's grace, these guys obeyed Jesus Christ's words, and they filled the things right to the very brim because they needed 6 full pots for 3 full more days of the wine being produced and giving the folks refreshments for this wedding feast in this day and in this hour. We know that God has all the power. We know that God can do all things in us and through us. And the question this morning is, then where is my miracle in my life even today? With the miracle of the water pots, there were still again 3 days left. They didn't just need deliverance for the day only. They needed deliverance for 3 days in the future. I thought about also Exodus chapter 14. In Exodus 14, the Bible says Moses parted the Red Sea by God's hand upon his own hand. What did God tell Moses? He said, raise your hand up over the waters. When he obeyed what God said, God began to part the waters. The Bible says the Israelites were delivered from the Egyptians of chasing them, and they went across on dry ground. That's only one part of the miracle. The Bible then goes on and says, when he goes to the other side, he said, well, here they all come now after us. You see, the miracle has happened there. The water has been parted there. Deliverance is happening there. But the Egyptians are still on their tails coming at them to take their lives and kill them. God tells Moses, now lift your hand up one more time and let the waters come back down to destroy the enemies of Israel. He brought deliverance, but he also brought destruction to their enemies by the hand of Moses and the hand of God in that situation. In that hour. Think about also the 5 stones of King David. God says causes David to get 5 smooth stones out of the brook. Why was there 5 stones? We heard the story time and time again. There was 1 stone to kill Goliath. That was the first miracle, the first breakthrough. There was 4 more stones to wipe out the entire family of Goliath because he had 4 brothers. He's prepared to take and wipe out 5 giants that day or for the future as well. That's why he had 5 smooth stones. Look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The Bible says God brings a miracle. It says the fire is made 7 times hotter. It says all the things on their hands, all the ropes and all the flax on their hands, burns like flax, comes off their hands. There's a 4th man among them. God spares their lives in a very, very strong fiery furnace. But the Bible goes on and says, and beyond that, when they opened the doors up, all of their enemies were actually wiped out by the heat of the flames around them. Look at Daniel the lion's den. The miracle takes place here. The miracle is God shuts the mouth of the lions. God spares his life for an entire night, a divine miracle of Almighty God found in Hebrews chapter 11. Amen? But beyond that, the next day happens there. What's the Bible say? They take the enemies of Daniel and throw them and their families in the lion's den and totally wipe out all the enemies of Daniel. The same thing is true of Esther. The same thing is true of almost every great man and woman of God there. God does a miracle, but then God goes beyond the miracle there and brings total destruction forevermore for the enemies against them from that day forth. Now, you need to catch that this morning, because some of you guys this morning have seen God do miracles, give you jobs, give you cars, give you wives, give you husbands, give you healings and healings and miracles inside your own body. But you're saying, why is this thing still not totally dealt with in my life? You see, God's hand was there for the first miracle, but God's hand must remain now on you to hear his voice on an ongoing basis, to see the total completion of what God began in your life. The Word of God tells us, I'll perform and I shall totally do the word I've spoken over your life, says the Lord. I shall perform that, I shall do that in due time, in due season. God will complete what he began in your life. Religion makes a doctrine out of our miracles. We say, well, whatever I see Benny Hinn do, that's what I'll do. Whatever I see Catherine Coleman do, that's what I'll do. Don't make religion and bondage out of things you say take place by men of God around the earth today. Don't copy them. Don't mimic them. You hear from God yourself with your own ears, your own heart. What is God saying to you about your miracle and about your breakthrough? God does things in different ways most of the time. Because God wants you to hear his voice, obey his voice, heed his voice, and do what he says. Let's move on now to point number two, that miracles are exciting. Miracles are exciting. One of our most exciting miracles in our Rock Seminar days, again, I've told you guys this in the past perhaps that have been here for a few years. We went to a church in Hillsboro, Texas, south of Dallas, on a Friday night or a Saturday night youth rally. We had about 300 youth there that night. We saw great breakthroughs take place in the youth's lives. We saw folks come to the front and get saved. We saw folks get delivered. We saw people give their hearts back to Jesus Christ. And these youth were so touched by what God did in their lives on the Rock Seminar night. They said, would you please come back here in 3 weeks? We want to take all of our tapes and all of our albums back in the late 70s and burn these things together as a sign that our lives are totally turned over to Jesus Christ now, and all this music we have in our lives is now gone from us forevermore. I said, okay, I'll come back for that. So Saturday comes, three weeks go by. And that Saturday was a day just like yesterday was here in Austin, Texas. It was cloudy. It was overcast. It was drizzling and raining all day long. Well, that evening, I had about 20 CF&I students come with me in that farmhouse. And the CF&I students said, we will not cancel this service, this album burning night, because of rain around us. We believe God is big enough to cause the rain to stop to burn this stuff. Those guys, the rain began coming down harder and harder in the whole area there. They began to join hands and began to pray in the farmer's living room. And just like someone just snapped their fingers, in about 10 minutes, the place became bone dry. The rain stopped. The rain ceased. We got there in the pasture place. We burned the albums. We burned the tapes. When the last car starts driving out the driveway that day, the rain comes right back down again as hard as ever. And it rained all that night and all the next day. We found out also the next day the only place it was dry was that one little bitty farm area for about 1 hour to burn that stuff. I'm saying that God's telling us, you see, I came in and did a Rock Seminar and saw many breakthroughs take place in a church. But then God goes beyond that, and God brings in total destruction 3 weeks later for those who obey his voice and obey what God says. I believe God wants to bring forth total destruction to your enemies. Not just one miracle, one time, little dab will do you. God wants to bring to you a lasting, total deliverance in your life. Only he can bring. Amen? But miracles are exciting. The pots that Jesus Christ used were for ceremonial washing for hands and for feet. They were boring. They were lifeless. They were just normal things. They now became the most exciting piece of furniture in the entire city. They had guys all around those pots of wine saying, hey, brother, how about one more drink? Now, I'm not going to argue right now about alcohol versus non-alcohol as far as that wine's concerned. My own take is it takes a long time to ferment wine, make it become alcoholic. That's my take. But I'm saying again, it tasted good. They liked the way it tasted. There were folks around those pots every single minute, every single hour. They loved that wine. And it was a very, very popular, exciting place to be at. God takes normal things and brings supernatural things that are exciting to them as only he can do. Amen? If you're bored right now with your own Christian life, it may be because you're really not hearing God's voice speaking into your situation on a daily basis. Cheryl and we don't find ourselves getting bored at all serving Jesus Christ. I've been serving God now in ministry for over 30 years. I have yet to have one boring day yet as far as God is concerned. I do have some downtime. I do have some restful time. I got some balance in my life. In those downtimes, though, there's always something before us that God has told us to get involved with, that we're planning for, praying for, thinking about, strategizing for, so forth and so on. There's never, ever boredom in the kingdom of Almighty God. Amen? And also, I found that God also speaks to your mind and heart and says, do some scary things that are bigger than you can do yourself. China was scary. Amen? Burma is going to be just a little bit scary, the natural realm there. Having, again, all those flies and pigs and dogs around us there, and having all the other junk we go through in life for things we eat, to me, is terrifying. I don't like seeing raw squid. I don't like seeing black chickens in my pot. Amen? And praise God, Wade and Linda know that I'm very, very good at passing my food on to missionaries around me in a very, very sneaky way. God gives me grace to pass on food in foreign lands that I know will not set well in my stomach, okay? Some folks have faith that there are some that can receive all foods. I have faith to sneak all things off to folks around me that they can receive all foods in Jesus' name. Amen? And so the same thing will happen in Burma as well, I'm sure, in the near future. Since I got filled with the Holy Spirit always gives us adventures, exciting things to do, because He speaks to us on a daily, weekly basis of things to do today and for the future for His grace and for His glory. I just heard a pastor speaking here a few days ago give a testimony about a man in his church. He said, this man in my church gave me a testimony about our building program. He said, right now we're trying to raise a couple of million dollars for a new addition to our sanctuary. And so I gave the congregation a charge and a challenge to be filling out some pledge cards for a three-day pledge and commitment to build a new building for our church here in Dallas, Texas. So this one man, he prays to God and says, God, what would you have me to give the next 3 years? God speaks back very fast and says, $50,000. The guy said, now, God, wait a minute. Don't just kind of give out some figure on top of your head, God. Now, kind of think about this, God. Think about this. What are you really saying now? What do I give in the next 3 years? And the Holy Spirit says, very fast, $50,000. The guy looks up to the heavens, a jet's flying over his house for DFW Airport, and the Holy Spirit says, why are you looking up in the air? The money's not going to come from there. He says, go to your computer right now and look at your budget and find some ways to be giving $50,000 next 3 years to that building program. So the man goes to his computer. He does some figuring. He says, well, if I give up my plan for a brand new sports car, I guess I can go ahead and finagle some figures here and there and so forth. I can wipe out some plans I've got here and there. He comes up with $50,000 for his own way to give to the church for the next 3 years. He said as 3 years goes by, the amazing thing was he never missed the money at all. God brought back into his budget some supernatural things that brought in all the things he thought he would actually find decrease, actually had no decrease at all in his own standard of living for those 3 years. Then when the 3 years goes by and his whole commitment has been made there on a monthly basis, the amazing thing was he told the pastor, I went and heard a knock on my door. At the door was a man from DFW Airport. He says, sir, we have found that your house, your neighborhood, is right in a flight plane for DFW Airport. Because of your hardship of all the noise over your house, we want to give you a check for all your hardship living in a flight plane for DFW Airport. How much was that check? $50,000 from DFW Airport. As he receives that check and he's praising God, God says to him very plainly, I can bring things from the heavens if I want to. And God tells us, He will make things exciting for your life if you can hear His voice, do what He says, obey what He says, but also God has complete deliverance in store for you, not just a one-time thing, by His Word and by His Spirit. Number three, miracles are personal. Miracles are personal. Think about miracles you may need today in your own life, in your body, in your marriage, in your finances, and among relationships among people around you as well. These are all personal things. This first miracle here is a very personal miracle about a man who needs help because the water pots, the wine is running dry. He needs water pots filled up and water turned to wine. It's a very, very personal miracle that day. Miracles are a personal thing from God. Amen. God delights in giving you desires and then fulfilling those desires. Psalm 37:4 tells us, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll then give you the desires of your heart. That means make God your delight. Then God will start pouring desires in you that only God can fulfill for your life. It may shock you to know that God cares more about you than you care about yourself. God cares more about your family than you care about your own family, because God has got perfect love that passes all understanding. And the truth also is, God cares about more about your personal needs and you being blessed than you even care about your own self being blessed. I've seen God bring to us handfuls of blessings on purpose when we least expect it, because God loves us. God loves you. God loves all of us. God has more things in store for you than you can ask or think or imagine. We serve a good God. As James is back to the platform right now to help us out, please, on this keyboard. I'm going to close here and say that Jesus Christ is seated at the table of blessing and decision for your life today. Jesus Christ is there to hand out to you blessings that you don't even know about right now. But the main thing he's asking this morning is, are you hearing my voice? Because when you hear my voice, you'll start receiving the mysteries and secrets of my kingdom that I've stored up for you in your life. I want to go back again to 2 Kings chapter 13, King Jehoash. Elisha the prophet. God's released upon us a prophetic anointing in these last days to hear the voice of Almighty God. And I believe this morning some of you guys have gone through a measure and a level of breakthroughs in your life, in your own situation. It might be, again, things in your health, things at your workplace, things about your finances, things about your own marriage that you need breakthroughs in. You might have come to the front in a place like this on a Sunday morning and been prayed for, and God did a level of breakthrough for you. God, what God's promised you this morning is, I don't just start a work, I actually finish a work, says the Lord. I don't just bring deliverance, I bring total destruction to your enemies beyond that deliverance. You see, Satan, I've heard time and time again, when somebody's body gets healed of cancer, let's say, Satan tries to always stand in the perimeters there and try to find a way to come back in again if he can do that. He finds a place that's swept and garnished. He wants to bring back seven times worse if he can. What God is saying is, may I arise in your life so mightily, you find yourself not only healed, but your enemies cut off, and cancer won't come back ever, ever again in your body from this day forth. Praise God that God heals cancer, but praise God even more so that God destroys the enemy of cancer off of you, off your kids, off your offspring, forevermore in Jesus' name. Praise God for checks in the mail, $50,000 checks in the airport. Praise God for that. But praise God even more so for a constant flow of income and resources and finances on an ongoing basis. That poverty is broken, lack is broken, debt is broken in Jesus' name on an ongoing basis. Let's bow our head right now, close our eyes for a moment. If you do that, please. The Spirit of God has spoken to my heart so strongly this Friday, this Saturday, about this word today. That miracles are for today, but miracles normally have two parts to them. Well, your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed right now, just for privacy's sake only. If you've gone through a breakthrough of some kind, been prayed for, you prayed for yourself, and you've seen God release a job to you, release a check to you, release a healing to you, release an answer to you, but you're still finding that there still seems to be some enemies right beyond the perimeters trying to rob that thing from you, would you please be honest right now and just raise your hand for a moment? Anybody like that today? Anybody else? Let's be honest. I'm going to ask us all to stand to our feet right now. If you do that, please, let's all stand to our feet. I'm going to ask all you guys with your hands who are raised up to please make your way out of your seats right now. Come to the front, if you would, please. Make your way to the front very quickly. Let's begin to stand up here side by side, because I believe there's an anointing here today that what God began, God will complete for you by His grace and by your Spirit.